Hello, listeners. This week we have part one of an interview with Lili Gwei, Nigerian skeptic, global humanist, and tireless opponent of witch hunting, here in our Radio Freethinker virtual studio. Former representative for Western and Southern Africa on the International Humanist and Ethical Union, currently he is pursuing a research program on witchcraft accusations in Africa at the University of Bayreuth in Germany. Welcome, Mr. Igwe.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You've taken some of your precious time to raise awareness for our listeners about a very serious and sad situation that's happening in Africa, witchcraft. Well, those who hunt down witches. Most of our listeners, when we think of witches, we tend to think of, you know, Halloween or cheesy movies. However, you're not talking about these cartoonish versions of dark magic. What is the cultural context of witchcraft in Nigeria, and how has this spiraled into this horror of witch hunting?
Well, there are many traditional beliefs that underlie witchcraft, witch hunting in Africa. First of all, there is a belief that nobody dies naturally. So if anybody dies in the family, people will have to go out and to find out who killed the person. If there is an accident, nobody will blame such an accident. Maybe your careless driving, maybe the bad state of the car or of the road. They will not blame it on something commonsensical. They will always blame it on something magical, as they say, or spiritual. So nothing happens ordinarily for an average African. And beyond that, people also have this belief that there are people who have spiritual powers and who go around mainly in the night to suck blood, cause misfortune. And these are the people that are held responsible whenever anything happens. There is misfortune in the family, or there's something terrible, an accident or death happens in the family. That is the pattern of thinking. And that is this pattern of thinking that has endured over the years, decades and centuries in several communities in Africa. And what happens now is that with a lot of poverty and suffering in many parts of the region, people are using these traditional beliefs to explain their situation. Make scapegoats, children, the aged people, women, are made scapegoats. They're blamed for this. And today, we have Pentecostal churches, and many of these churches are desperately looking for a way to be relevant, a way to exploit the people. So many of them are reinforcing the belief in witchcraft. Many of them are resurrecting and reviving the traditional belief in witchcraft and the atrocious act of witch hunting. So that's why we're experiencing a lot of resurgence in terms of witch hunting, witchcraft accusation across the continent. So what we're witnessing today is not the kind of witch hunting driven by what is often called the witch doctors. No, we are now experiencing a situation where the so-called pastors are the contemporary witch hunters. And the witch hunting is taking place in churches or among church-going people. But it's not just only among Christians, also among Muslims and people who profess other faiths and beliefs. Because this traditional belief is very strong, and the educational system has not been able to address it. The legal system has not been able to address it. And because there is lack of political will, there's also lack of intellectual will to challenge this traditional belief and address it. So because of the collapse of the justice system, the educational system, because of weak political will, the continent is experiencing witch hunting in a century where such a thing ordinary should have been thought to be unthinkable. So that is our plight, that is our predicament right now.
From what I understand, unlike in Canada, the Nigerian educational system is almost exclusively sort of religious. Technically, Nigeria is a secular country. If I believe it's in your constitution that there is no sort of state religion. But this, with this religious educational system and this sort of resurgence in evangelical churchism, this has really exacerbated the whole situation in Nigeria.
Yes. Like I said, our educational system is part of the problem. Our educational system is a kind that was originally founded by Christian missionaries. And they were essentially or originally meant to be used to propagate Christian faith, Christian doctrines. But right now, we have a situation whereby in the northern part of Nigeria, the educational system is biased towards Islam, and in the south, it's biased towards Christianity. So that wherever you go, there is no space for reason in the educational system. And if you ever get it, it's by default. It's just maybe not something institutional. So, and there's this competition between the two religions to outdo maybe the other in terms of religious indoctrination, and brainwashing of students in schools, colleges, and universities. And that is why the witchcraft mentality has not been addressed. The mentality has not been challenged, because the educational system is busy trying to make everybody a Christian or a Muslim, deeply religious. And in Nigeria, particularly, it's difficult to say you are religious and you say you don't believe in witchcraft. It's very difficult. There are a few people that say it, but they don't say it convincingly. And it's also difficult to get those people to be proactive in terms of addressing the problem. So that is the vicious circle Nigeria finds itself, Africa finds itself, as a result of the faith-based educational system that prevails in the region.
You've actually suffered quite a bit for your campaigning. I understand you've been threatened, beaten, and arrested on occasion. Going with this idea that Nigeria is a secular country, the legal system itself, from what I understand, it has its own cultural baggage with regards to the supernatural belief.
Yeah. You see, there is a very complex situation in Nigeria. We have what we call the letters of the law, and the way the letters of the law are interpreted. Witchcraft accusation is illegal in Nigeria. In other words, if you accuse or call somebody a witch, the person can take you to the court and you will be penalized. But it is not the law, the letters of the law, that is the problem in Nigeria. It's those who are enforcing and interpreting the law. So that's a challenge. For instance, in Akwa Ibom State, one of the states where this problem is very prevalent and where I also was arrested, we have a situation where the law enforcement agencies do not want to do their work. And they find those who want to compel them to do their work as a kind of nuisance, people who are really trying to cause problems for them. So there is lack of judicial will on the part of the authorities. There is, like I said, there is lack of political will. So when you try to persuade and get people to take up their responsibility, enforce the law, the letters of the law, they think that you are causing problems for them. And they find a way to maltreat you, they find a way to make things difficult for you. And of course, we also have some churches who are benefiting from this diseased state of the police and justice system, the Pentecostal churches, because they are the one fueling witchcraft accusation. They are the one that actually should be, the law enforcement agency should go after them and get them arrested. But of course, with the kind of very poor, terrible police and justice system we have, witchcraft accusers, witch hunters are thriving, and of course, they are happy when those who are trying to challenge very terrible situation are maltreated, are beaten up, and generally things are made difficult for them. So that is just the kind of situation, we find ourselves particularly in Nigeria. And I think that's the same situation in many other countries across the region.
Nigeria, is it sort of unique? I mean, I know Nigeria itself has a relatively young population. It is ironically both a very rich and a very poor country. Does this mean Nigeria is unique in Africa, or is this something that's larger than just Nigeria itself?
When it comes to witchcraft accusation, particularly a situation where the state has literally failed in addressing the problem, Nigeria is not unique. Nigeria is not alone. In Guinea-Conakry, we have similar cases. We have had cases like that in Gambia. In Ghana, we have camps where women driven out by their families, they take refuge there. And these camps are not even classified as refugee camps by the UN. Because, of course, the local authorities will have to admit that witchcraft accusation is a problem, is an issue in terms of internal displacement of persons for organizations to take up this issue. But people are languishing in makeshift camps in northern Ghana, in a country where witchcraft accusation is illegal. In Burkina Faso, old women are driven out of their homes and they're living in camps in Ouagadougou, the capital. And do you know what they call them? They call them soul eaters, mangeuse d'âme. If they are called a soul eater, it means that you're a witch. You go out to eat the souls of people. In other words, you cause the death of people around you. These people are driven out, that living in camps. In the capital of Burkina Faso, that's Ouagadougou. In Central African Republic, at least half of the prison population are people convicted as a result of imaginary crime of witchcraft. So, Nigeria is not alone. Angola, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Malawi, all these places, witch hunting has been going on. But the world has heard very little about this. The world does not know much about this because the local authorities are not reporting them because they think that it is right to kill anybody accused of witchcraft. As we saw recently in Tanzania, people are being killed. Albinos are being targeted. So we are talking about an epidemic. Witchcraft accusation is an epidemic in Africa. And I still don't know one particular factor that is killing, causing a lot of suffering, being used as a platform to torture and maltreat people in Africa more than witchcraft, the belief in witchcraft, and witch hunting.
Oh, that's so sad to hear in so many ways. On that dark note, we return and continue our interview with Leo Igwe after this commercial break.
Hello, this is Leo Igwe, Nigerian skeptic, global humanist, and a tireless proponent of rational compassion in the global community. Help promote skepticism and rational thinking by listening to Radio Free Thinker. Please subscribe on iTunes. Rational compassion is all about our applying our reason to help humanity, to help enlighten the world.
We're back with Leo Igwe discussing the state of witchcraft in Africa and the atrocities that have been carried out because of it. Now, some of our more cynical listeners might sit back and say, well, you know, that's bad for Nigeria, for Africa, but this has nothing to do with us. But that's not strictly true. Missionary activities by evangelicals and even the traditional Catholic Church is rampant in Africa. One of the instigators of this violence you've mentioned already is the Pentecostal Church. What role has the church been playing? It's central, right?
Yes. Right now, you see, the church's role right now is central to the problem. In other words, the church is at the forefront. But more of the Pentecostal churches, but other Orthodox churches are also playing a role, but not as much as the Pentecostal. I must tell you that every church is guilty of this, directly and indirectly. Now, let me give you an example. We appeared, and when I mean we, all of us involved in addressing the problem of witchcraft accusation, appeared before a commission set up by government in Akwa Ibom, and a Catholic priest testified. So during his testimony, he was asked, Father, do you believe in witchcraft? He said, as an individual, no. As a church, yes. Now, what kind of response is that? You see, everybody was confused, and that is the problem. That is it. So if that is an official, and one can call that an official position of the Catholic Church, then Catholic Church is also part of the problem, because they have not categorically provided a position that can, you know, help people out of the problem of witchcraft accusation. They are actually part of the problem. So that's why I said, I don't think there's any church. There are individuals, there are pastors, a few of them that say yes, they are against or they do not believe in witchcraft. But they will not believe in witchcraft, but they will believe in possession by spirits, possession by demons. They will say, I don't believe in witchcraft, but I believe that people can be possessed by demons. They are all on the same irrational platform. I can't see one different from the other. The only thing there is that some of them may, because of the pressure on those who are causing problems, fueling witch hunting, they will say, I don't believe in witchcraft. But they believe that people can be possessed by demons or by spirits, evil spirits, and all that. So that's why I said there is no church I can categorically say, that is not part of the problem. Yes. And it is also a religious issue. You know, religion is informed by this irrational teaching that there is some spirit, some world out there that influence, shape our world, direct our fortune, cause our misfortune. Gods are there, angels are there, demons are there. And as long as churches keep peddling these irrational claims, it will be difficult for them to sit back and tell me and say, we are not part of the problem of witchcraft accusation. Because witchcraft accusation is all about religion, is all about spreading the spiritual, supernatural beliefs. So that is the situation. This is a classical case where the church can't not exonerate themselves because of the fact that they have refused to tell the world the truth. This supernatural thing we're talking about is nonsense, is superstitious, and people should not believe in them. Unfortunately, they are not ready to say this, and because they are not ready to say this, they are not ready to dissociate themselves from the problem of witchcraft accusation and the atrocities being committed in the name of witchcraft accusation in Africa or in anywhere around the world.
That's actually always been sort of a debate in the atheist community. Moderate religion has kind of created the kindling onto which the spark of fundamentalism strikes. And this seems to be kind of what you're sort of saying with, by being complicit with the belief system behind those who commit witch hunting, they are complicit with the crime.
Yes. You see, moderate unreason, fundamentalist unreason. There's one thing they share in common is unreason. Moderate in terms of thinking, or moderate religion is because we said, oh, these are people that have some dosage of rational thinking. Or they're irrational thinking, the dosage is less. The fundamentalist, their own is more. But there's one thing they share in common, unreason, irrationalism, superstition. Whether that you call them moderate or not, I still think that they are still part of the problem. They should tell us the truth. When the Bible says, suffer not a witch to live, is that true or not? Is that the word of God or a word of a human being who lived centuries ago and a word of somebody who made such an utterance out of ignorance, out of fear, primitive fear? Or is that the word of God? What is the position of a moderate religionist, a moderate believer in God? The person will start telling you, oh, it's the word of God, but it's metaphor. What do you mean by metaphor? So what we're saying there is this. When it comes to issues like witchcraft, believing witchcraft, it is difficult to take a middle ground. Is witchcraft... Can people be killed using witchcraft? I don't think there's a moderate ground there. It is either it is true or it is not true. Even if, yes, as skeptics we say, oh, you don't have complete evidence. But the evidence we have on ground points to the fact that you can't kill somebody, let's say if you are in Germany, you kill somebody in Saudi Arabia using some magic thereabout. So what I'm saying there is that it's still part of the problem. But we're just using moderate in the sense that maybe these are people who don't go out there on the streets, but who entertain the belief, but they don't act so much like the fundamentalists. So, are they part of the problem? Yes. Categorically, yes.
There's one person in particular that we've been trying to shine a light of awareness on in an attempt to stop her personal atrocity campaign in Nigeria. I'm referring to Helen Fabio. She's been described, and I think, I believe by you, as a Christian fundamentalist and biblical literalist. She uses her sermons, teachings, and prophetic declarations to incite hatred, intolerance, and persecution of alleged witches and wizards. She's coming to North America. How dangerous are people like this, and what can we do about it?
First of all, I want friends in Canada and all the friends around the world who have been listening to this to understand that today, no country could say, yes, we are free from this nonsense. It's now an African thing. No. Today, the world is a global village. People migrate and they settle in countries, other countries, and they go there with their beliefs, with their superstition, with their tradition, sometimes harmful. And right now, we have a woman who is at the forefront of witch hunting in Nigeria. And who has built a power base that has made her more or less literally above the law, because she should actually be in jail, if not for anything, based on the claims she makes and the way she goes about her ministry. Her ministry is a witch accusation, witch hunting ministry. So such a ministry in in a society where the law, there's rule of law, shouldn't even be operating to today. But she has not stopped doing that in Nigeria. She's now bringing it, she now wants to bring the same ministry, in quote, to the United States. And we should not rule out the fact that there are people who believe in her ministry in the U.S. and that there are children who are vulnerable, you know, who can fall victims as a result of the extension of her ministry, not just to the U.S., and that the extension of the ministry to the U.S. could also give credibility to this discredited, outdated, criminal and atrocious ministry she's running. So, what can we do? What we can do is to shine the light, always track down and find out wherever any move she's making, and make people to understand the implications of her ministry to religion, to human rights, and to civilization. She's coming to undo the enlightenment, the progress already made in the area of reason and critical thinking. She's coming to reignite the violent campaign against children, all in the name of witchcraft. If you have been following recent developments in the UK, I'm sure our listeners must have read about the cases in court of one Christian from Congo, I think. This boy was tortured to death by the family because the family believed, you know, the boy was a witch or a wizard. And these witch-believing families, they go to witch-believing churches where witch hunters or witch-believing pastors reinforce this belief and make them to go home to torture and maltreat their children. So the danger we are running by allowing the likes of Helen Opabio to bring her ministry to the U.S. is that we want to reignite the witch hunting that ended in our country centuries ago. And we also indirectly will be supporting and emboldening witch hunters already operating in Africa. So, friends in the U.S., friends in the West, friends in Europe, or friends everywhere around the world should help us checkmate, stop these people from bringing their ministry, so that we can start beating back the tide of witch hunting, not just here in Canada or in the U.S., where there are still some people who believe and who might be doing some terrible things in the name of witchcraft. But we will send a very strong message to witch hunting anywhere on this planet, including in Africa. You are a criminal. Humanity has grown beyond what you're doing. And we can always find very civilized ways to stop you and save humanity from the dark and dangerous campaign of witch hunting.
Well, I think one of the things, too, that can bring this home, at least to some people, is, I mean, I'm not sure up to date you are with the American politics and the Republican presidential campaign and the whole rise of Rick Santorum and his whole extremely fundamentalist and backwards sort of belief system he intends to inflict on the U.S. if he brings. So in an odd sort of way, I mean, this festering of this belief system in other parts of the world, which seems to, you know, they did it in Nigeria, has coming back to come to roost in North America. It's sort of a reverse colonization sort of thing.
Yeah. You see, the thing there is this. As long as we have this, the religious bloc, we have the, in quotes, really, witchcraft, if I should use that word, believing bloc, politicians will always find a way to access their votes, and by so doing, try to justify whatever is their religion or belief or misconception or superstition, all in the quest to get their votes. And we should not also, you know, shy away from the fact that not all our politicians are disenchanted, according to Max Weber. We still have politicians, you know, who have all this supernatural, superstitious mentality, but of course who find themselves in a society where the structures are so disenchanted, and our political space could provide them a platform to undo our society in terms of the progress we have made, you know, in terms of the values of enlightenment. We should not rule out that. But what happens there is that we should always send a very strong message to them that the society will not allow them to take us back. Yes, that is it. And that is it. That is one thing good about democracy, is that people will have their voice. People have to speak out. People have to come out, demonstrate, protest, name and shame, and make people to understand, look, this political program you want to bring to America belongs to the medieval era. We don't want it today. So what I'm saying there is that it will still fall back to Americans. Because I know that, like Nixon told him, I think, he will never get to the White House without the votes of the people. So vote him down and send a strong message to politicians like him. You have no place in the White House of the United States of the 21st century. Period. That's the way I look at it. So I don't care what he says. But if the people should say, look, if this is your program, there's no place for you. Because this is 21st century America. This is not 200, 300, 500 years ago America. This is 21st century America. So what I'm saying there is that it is a fallback to Americans. Let them send a strong message to him that there is no place for a politician with his kind of agenda in the 21st century White House of the United States.
Tune in next week for part two of our interview, where Mr. Igwe and I will discuss his views on skepticism and explain what rational compassion is. Thank you.